Well, to all the mothers, happy Mother's Day, amen. And I'm sure that you were excited this morning and pleased when you saw all the candy that was brought to your to you as a present from your children, right? How many children brought their parents candy? You do know that's the best gift you can give to your mom. Right? The stores should be sold out of Reese's peanut butter cups. Oh, I know what it is. I know. You said, Pastor, that isn't the best gift that I could give to my mom, but I did something so special for her that she just fainted this morning because she got up, because it's Mother's Day. She opened the door to my room, and it was neat and picked up, and everything was put away. Right? Is that, Hunter, is your room all clean this morning? I won't, you don't, no, okay. Honesty is the best policy, Hunter, that's right. But I just know that's the best, probably the best present a young person gives. Just, Mom, look at what I did. I cleaned my room. I don't say that from experience, by the way, just from observation. But anyways, if you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. We had a good day down in New London yesterday, soul winning, a fun day, a good fellowship, a good time, and got the opportunity to talk to a number of folks. Second Timothy chapter 1 this morning. I want to begin reading verse number 1, and we want to read down to verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy word. Lord, I just pray that your word would speak to our hearts, to each one of us this morning, that we be open to the very word of God, and Lord, that you would teach us and encourage us and challenge us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, as Paul writes to Timothy, as Paul begins to write to Timothy, he mentions his mother and his grandmother in verse number 5 and how important that is. Down in 2 Timothy chapter 4 or chapter 3, he says in verse 15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And he reminds him to just remember and continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, when you look at verse number 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, it reminds us and just brings to our attention what life is all about. Life consists of relationships, right? When you come down to it, life is all about relationships. But it's not only relationships, but it's relationships in the context of the reality in which that relationship is. The world today is living, I don't know where they're living, but it's not reality, right? We're now everybody's all worked up about artificial intelligence. Well, just think of those two words, artificial intelligence. So it's not real. So it's not really intelligence, is it? If it ain't real, it's not intelligent. Anyways, all right, that's my take on that. But, you know, but the world is living in a different space right now. But the Bible speaks about relationships. It's all about relationships. But it's relationships in the context of the reality of which we live. Every one of us is unique. Every relationship is unique. Because every relationship is unique in the sense that it's within the context of the life and the circumstances that are unique to you. There is no individual that is the same as any other individual. There is no family that is the same as every other family. There's no marriage that's the same as every other marriage. There's no home. There's no. Everything is unique. But in this verse, Paul brings out something that was common in the life of a grandmother, a mother, and a son. Something that was prominent. Paul says it's evident. I've seen it. Personal. Personal because it was in Timothy's grandmother. It was in Timothy's mother. And Paul says it's in you too. Powerful too. And what I want to speak to you this morning about is something that is seen in Timothy's mother in the midst of the relationships that she had in the context of reality. Because the Bible speaks not only about Timothy's mother, not only his grandmother, but if we were to go back to Acts chapter 16, it speaks about Timothy's dad, unsaved. And here's a woman, here's a mother. That's her reality. She has her mother, that relationship. She has a relationship with her husband, who's not a believer. She has a relationship with her son. And that relationship is in the midst of the family, in the midst of the church, because the Bible speaks about the brethren, and in the midst of the world. And we could look at all the circumstances of the world in chapter 3, and listen, they face the same challenges that we face. The challenges that they faced, that was their reality. That was their challenges. Our challenges are today. But there's something that's seen here, and there's something that Paul noticed and witnessed and mentions and is of utmost importance. And here's what it is. Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, was in your grandmother, saw it in your mother, and it dwells in you too, Timothy. But he mentions it, and I want to speak to you this morning about that phrase, the unfeigned faith. What is an unfeigned faith? Paul doesn't just say, when I see your faith. He uses an adjective, a very powerful adjective, to describe the faith of Timothy, of his mother, and his grandmother. He says an unfeigned faith. What is an unfeigned faith? Why is it so prominent? Why is it so powerful? Because an unfeigned faith, that word unfeigned means without hypocrisy. The word feign means to put on a disguise, to pretend to be something. David, at one point in his life, when he was being battled and chased by his foes, the Bible says he feigned to make himself mad. He pretended that he was crazy. And that word feigned means to to put on a disguise, to not be real. And you see, when Paul speaks about an unfeigned faith, he speaks about a faith that is sincere, that is pure, that is real. Not just something that's spoken with the lips, but that is seen in the life, that it's real, it's evidenced. And that's why it's so powerful. An unfeigned faith that is seen in the life because it's real. You know, I've really just been greatly encouraged by the messages that Pastor Donnie's been preaching on Sunday nights. And by the way, if you're not here, you're missing it. Anyways, moving on. But they've been such a great encouragement to me. And the theme has been simple, because it's really about an unfeigned faith. And the theme has been two phrases. We believe, we live. That's faith, isn't it? That's an unfeigned faith. That's a simple faith. We believe, we live. This is my life. Right? That's an unfeigned faith. I believe, I live. I believe, I live. Boy, that phrase is just stuck this year. I mean, this is what we believe. And as a result, this is what we live. And how powerful that is. Paul writes to Timothy, and from a child, you have seen in your mother a faith that is sincere, that is pure, that is real, that not only does she read you the scriptures, not only does she teach you the Bible, but you've seen it in her life. You've seen it in her life. I think back to my mother, and I'm not going to tell a lot of stories this morning about my mom, but I tell you what, I know this, that her life was one that she lived by the book. She believed it. And she lived it. And many times I didn't like it. But I tell you what, it was powerful. And Paul writes about an unfeigned faith. But that unfeigned faith is the foundation for something. And I want to bring your attention down to verse number 7. Because that unfeigned faith, a real faith, a faith that is sincere, that's without hypocrisy, a faith that is real, a faith that says, I believe, I live. I believe, I live. I read it, I believe it, I live it. Boy, that's faith. That's what faith is all about. But I want to bring your attention down to verse number 7, because this is what this unfeigned faith will bring about in your life. And it's three things, three important things, and three just things that will be evidence in your life. For verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And those are three things that an unfeigned faith will manifest in a person's life. Power, courage to live by faith. Courage to live by faith. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, hold fast the sound words, the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. He says, hold fast. But you know, an unfeigned faith is a life of power. It's a life of courage. I want you to turn back to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Because an unfeigned faith, a sincere faith, a real faith, will give you the courage and the power and the strength of God to live by faith in this world in which we live today. And we need that. Listen, it takes faith, it takes power, It takes courage to live in these days just as it did back then. They were facing greater persecution than we are. Lives were being taken. Homes were being ripped apart. And yet, God says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power. To every mom here this morning, listen, God will give you the power and the courage and the strength to raise your children according to the word of God. He will enable you. He's not asking you to do it in your own strength. But he says, I will give you the power to live according to the word of God, to raise your children according to the word of God, to be an example to them of the word of God in this world in which we live today. And it's getting more challenging, isn't it? But look at what the testimony of Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this great, this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all that the land of the Hittites and of the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Boy, I tell you what, I think I'm listening to Wednesday night's message. Hebrews chapter 13, right? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And here in Joshua, God is speaking to Joshua. He says, I've promised you, I will be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And so then it says this, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance a land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. God's speaking to Joshua. He says, Joshua, you're going to lead this people into the promised land. He says, but you're going to have to obey the word of God. He said, but Joshua, I promise you something. Said it in verse number 5. Said it again in verse number 9. I will be with you. I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Says it twice. But then three times Joshua is encouraged and challenged, be strong and of good courage. You know why? Because you have all these other voices around you that are going to tell you something different. You have all these other voices around you that are going to tell you the world is going to say something different. Family's going to say something different. Friends are going to say something different. And God says, be strong. Be strong. Courageous to obey the word of God, because that's where our faith is. That's what works. And yet it takes courage. It takes courage to stand by faith these days. I had a young man yesterday in a young man and a lady. And that came into the church down there in London. And and they had some questions. And their question was this. Their whole stumbling block about anything that had to do with Christianity came from this foundational point, that they thought that churches were all about getting their money. They said, every church, the young man said, I don't go to church anymore. I don't trust churches. He says, because it seems like all they want is your money. And I says, well, I can see your point. And the Lord gave me the wisdom to know how to deal with his stumbling block and still present the gospel. And I said to him, I says, well, let me just share something with you. I says, if God can give his son, Jesus Christ, to meet my deepest need, which is the forgiveness of sins, and I can trust him for that, then I can surely trust him for a few dollars to take care of paying the light bills. And he said, oh. I said, when a person trusts in God and trusts in Jesus Christ for the greatest need, which is salvation, it leads them to be able to trust God for everything else. And if God can take care of that, then I'm not going to worry about a few dollars to pay an electrical bill or to pay the rent or anything else. Well, you see, that's faith. And by God's grace, he left heaven, I believe, that stumbling block just removed before him so that he could think of Jesus Christ. But you know, it takes courage. But the Bible says God has given us not the spirit of fear, but of power. Power to live by faith. Power to live by the word of God. Power to live a life that does read and meditate and study the Word of God. For when you read the Word of God, when you study the Word of God, you can search the Scriptures, and God's Word will speak about every unique relationship. God's Word will teach you how to be an individual, to be a husband, to be a wife, to be a father, to be a mother, to be a child, to be a pastor. And God will give you the power and the courage to live by faith according to his word in the relationships in which you find yourselves, in the context of the reality of the world in which you live. You know, I was just thinking about this, and I really just want to focus on this a little bit. I was thinking about this. Every relationship is different. But there's reality. The reality of this is I'm a man. This is where the world is getting all messed up. I'm a man. That's reality. Right? I'm an old man. That's reality. And all of a sudden you realize you're an old man because all of a sudden you start talking about doctor's appointments and medicines and all your illnesses more than you talk about the jobs you were just doing and everything else, right? I'm also a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a pastor. And all of that comes in reality. You know, it's amazing to me, just thinking of the relationship of a pastor. Even that is unique. in this context of reality. I'm a pastor of Lakes Pond Baptist Church, which is unique, different than Citywide Baptist Church, different from Willimantic Baptist Church. You go to any one of those three churches and you'll say, wow, different, totally different. Our church is here in Connecticut, right? Listen, this is unique. We need to understand this. Our church and this church and my ministry is here in Connecticut. It's not down south where everybody's a Christian, right? You go down south and everybody's saved down there. And they look at you, you know, I've actually had this. People down south, there's Christians up north. Yeah, there is. You go to the Midwest and it's a lot more conservative, right? Just by the culture is conservative. You up north and it's a lot colder. You go to Newfoundland and I don't know what's up there. You go to Greenland, it's very cold. But where do we live? We live in Connecticut. We live in Connecticut. That's the reality of where our church is. And it's uniquely different from any other community. But that's the reality of our life and our relationships here in the context of where we live. And Paul writes, and he says, you have an unfeigned faith, a sincere faith. And one of the manifestations, one of the demonstrations of that faith is the courage and the power and the strength of God. Be strong in the Lord. He writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, and he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But an unfeigned faith will be seen in the courage and the power to live according to the word of God. Boy, I tell you what, that's what every young person needs to see in their mom and in their dad as well. But they need to see a mom that lives by the word of God, that knows the word of God and lives by the word and has the courage to live by the word of God. Well, I remember many times, there were times when as a young person, I knew that my mom lived by this book. Whether it was when she was marching into the public school or whether she was marching me up to my room or whether she was telling my friends what the good book says. I know this, my mom lived by faith and it was evident. It was powerful, and I'm thankful for it. But you see, there's something else. Not only the courage to live by faith, but then the character of that faith. Because look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, not only has God given us power, but then he says something that is also so important is the character of our faith. The character of our faith is that of love. He says, I've given you the spirit of power and of love and of love. In a sincere faith, a pure faith, an unfeigned faith, will manifest itself in the character of love. In the character of love. In Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. In verse 28, actually. One of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he'd answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And God said, not only have I given you the power to live, but I'm going to give you the character to live. And that character is love. Love. God manifested his love toward us. And while you're yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he says, love. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And this is so important because not only do we need to have the courage to live by faith and the power to live by faith, but that needs to be with the right attitude expressed in our lives toward others. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love, but how? As Christ loved us and gave himself for us. My mom was strong in her faith, and my friends knew it, because man, she wouldn't cut us any slack, and yet they also knew this. They knew that my mom loved them. She loved us as children. She loved my friends. She loved the neighborhood. She loved all the kids that went by her. She had the love of Christ in her. And the Bible says we're to walk in love as Christ loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor. To walk in love. You know, you go back to chapter 4, verse 31, Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. One of the things that I remember most of all is that when I would get in trouble because I was fighting with usually my sister, that my mom would sit us, I don't know how many times this happened, but it must have happened a lot because it's a vivid memory. I mean, a vivid memory. And something would go wrong, but let's just be honest. I would do something wrong that involved one of my siblings, and my mother, I remember this just like it was yesterday. She would bring us up to the bedroom. She would sit down on the bed. You sit this side. My sister, it was always my sister. It was my fault, but it was my sister. And she would sit her on the other side, and then she'd sit in the middle, and she would open up this Bible every time to 1 Corinthians 13. Every time. I don't know what I did. I don't know how many times I did it. I don't know what the context of it, but I know what the answer was. Every time she'd open a first screen, and she'd say, we're going to read. And I know this this little rebellious heart of mine, oh, here we go again. And she would sit there, and though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. I think she would repeat that phrase about 10 times. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And it says this, charity never faileth. Verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And an unfeigned faith is demonstrated by the character of love. Whether it's in your personal relationship, family relationship, church, or the world, the character of an unfeigned faith is seen in the love which we have toward others. We live in a difficult time, folks. And we need to have the courage to stand by faith. But that courage that stands by faith will also be coupled not with pride, not with arrogance, not with hatred, but with love. With love. That every relationship we have would be manifested by the love of Christ within us, that's seen in caring more about others than ourselves. And so the second thing is the character of an unfeigned faith, the love. But then it mentions one more thing. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter mentions one more thing. And how important is this? 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says not only power, not only love, but it says this, a sound mind, a sound mind. And what that phrase, a sound mind, is a mind, thoughts that are under control. Under what control, though? Under the control of your faith. A sound mind is a thought life that will affect your personal life, your active life, your visible life. A sound mind is thoughts that are controlled by the Spirit of God because of the faith that you have in the Word of God. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, it says, if you just turn back to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him, been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the form of conversation the old man, which is corrupt to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And Paul says an unfeigned faith is a faith that is courageous, that is by the power of God able to live according to the Word of God. A faith that is characterized by love more than anything else. A love for the Lord and love for others. And a faith that brings a mind unto control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Because our thoughts, the way we think, manifests itself in the way we live, in what is seen. And it's easy to allow your thoughts to dictate your life. But we're not to live with thoughts that are out of control. We're to live with thoughts that are under the control of our faith. That once again, we believe we live. Yeah, but my emotions, we believe we live. But my friend, we believe we live. But the world, we believe we live. And when your faith is real, your thoughts will be under control of the Spirit of God according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God. And what a powerful life that is. What a powerful life that is. Because you come down to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Paul is writing to Timothy, a young man that's a pastor in the midst of perilous times and leading a church. And yet he reminds him that unfeigned faith that is in him, he says, I saw it in your mother, I saw it in your grandmother. And he says to Timothy, verse 14 of chapter 3, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He says, continue in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know, I just want to encourage you, moms, this morning, that the most powerful influence you can have in your children's life is when over the years, consistently, day after day, week after week, circumstance after circumstance, month after month, year after year, your children see you consistently living by faith according to the Word of God. You're not perfect, because only men are perfect. Only kidding. That was a joke. And it got a laugh from all the ladies. I'm glad I didn't hear any men say amen on that one. But what young people need to see is the reality of faith in a mom and in a dad. Because faith works, folks. Word of God works. And when they watch, because they do watch and they observe and they see, but when they see a mom living by faith, just going about life, holding on to the Word of God, loving more than anything else, and being under control of the Word of God so that it controls your thoughts and your mind and your life, that'll have an impact in the years to come. That'll have an impact. It'll have an impact on your children. It'll have an impact on all the people you have relationships with. And a powerful impact. And Paul writes and he says, Timothy, you have an unfeigned faith. But Timothy, I saw it in your mother first and your grandmother as well. And may God see it. And may people see it in us as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen every mom here this morning to live by faith, sincerely, purely, faith in thee, faith in thy word, with the character of love, as they have the courage to stand and live by faith, to raise their children by faith, they would be characterized by the love of Christ, a life that is under control of the Spirit of God and the faith that they have in thee, in Christ, in thy word. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.